Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Right Time. My name is Bomani Jones. Thanks for listening on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. We appreciate it. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to think you are a hater. It's that time of week where we do an interview. And joining us now from the Chicago White Sox, also from Tuscaloosa, Alabama, his name is Tim Anderson. Tim, what's going on with you?
How we doing?
Good, man. So I always wonder with baseball players, once, you know, we talk about it in media about these being the dog days, but once it starts getting to July and it's like 100 degrees every day out there, like, how rough is it getting through this part of a baseball season?
Man, it gets longer, man. You know, it's like a tough stretch, but, you know, man, it's a grind. It's a grind, but, you know, you just go out and attack every day and try to get better every day and, you know, take advantage every day.
Yeah, the thing that's interesting to me about baseball, really unlike these other sports, is y'all are at the office all day long. Like, basketball players aren't getting there at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Y'all are there from, like, yeah, sun up till sundown almost.
Yeah, we there, man. We there working. And, you know, man, it's part of it, I guess you could say that. But, you know, it's fun. And it is a grind, though.
I think some people might be surprised to hear you talk about the fun, because I think there were a lot of waves made when you talked about baseball being a boring sport, but I imagine this can't be something that you do if you don't really enjoy it, though.
Yeah, true. But, you know, for the most part, I can control, you know, before the game, how that goes, so I can have my own fun there.
Well, what made you make the decision? You were a basketball player, so, like, what made you decide that you were going to make the pivot into playing baseball?
Man, you know, in the NBA, you know, the average point guard, like, 6'4". And I'm nowhere near 6'4", so I figured I'd go play baseball.
It just happened to be good at it?
Yeah, I just happened to get good at it.
So, like, did you play much, like, you know, because I know you say you didn't play until, like, your junior year of high school, but, like, did you play Little League and all that stuff coming up?
Yeah, I played Little League, yeah, for the most part, and then I took my freshman and sophomore year off because I played basketball. Then I injured my legs, I broke both my legs playing basketball, and, you know, I went back out my junior year. And, you know, play half a season. And then went back out my senior year and play half a season because I was playing basketball and we won, you know, state championship. And so they ran into the season. And I had one offer to East Central. And, you know, that's where I went.
I'm curious what your Little League was like, because, like, I see how you play, and as much as people talk about the way baseball is and the etiquette and the manners of the game, not every Little League was the same. Some people's Little Leagues had a little bit more fun. It looks like yours was having more fun than the average one.
Yeah, we enjoyed the game. We enjoyed the game, man. We celebrated those moments.
Was it a surprise to you to find out that not everybody did that?
Yeah, it was. I'm like, man, that's crazy that, you know, you're playing a failing game. So I think it's only right that you celebrate the moment that you do succeed. So, yeah, it was, you know, it's different. You know, it was different for me.
Yeah. So, like, for you, as, like, celebrating and enjoying yourself and playing baseball the way that you do, we know how it goes over with some guys on the other team. How do your teammates feel about it?
You know, they like it, man. Bring that energy, you know, to the ball club and, you know, getting them fired up. And, I think that's what they do to them. They, you know, that spark of fire, and that's the ultimate goal, man. You know, try to wake these guys up and get them going, and you know, do anything that's gonna, you know, get the ball rolling.
And that's one of the interesting things I find about baseball with this is it seems like people have a problem when somebody on the other team does it, but it's really cool when it's your own dude.
Yeah, that's how it is, man. But you know, I respect the game. You know, if a pitcher strike me out, that's okay. You could do your thing too, but. You know, if I get back up there and I do my thing, you know, I'm a celebrate it. It's only mandatory.
Well, like, for you, what does respect the game mean to you?
I'd say, you know, just, you know, not directly at anybody. You know, more so, you know, do something that's like, you know, at your teammate. For the most part, that's how I understand it. But, you know, man, I just go out and play hard. And, you know, I try to spark the team and get them going. And, you know, when I'm on the field, I care less about, you know, who's in the other dugout or who's opposing the team. You know, because ultimately the goal is to go out and compete and try to beat them. So why not do it at a high level?
You also play in the middle infield, which when I was a kid was always the position I wanted to play because I always thought it was really cool, the idea of, like, turning double plays and jumping over people because I didn't realize that those cats were coming down there trying to kill y'all.
Yeah, man. It's like being a quarterback. You're always moving around and having somewhere to be. So, yeah, man, that's a busy part of the field.
Well, for you, when did you realize that, like, playing in the majors was something that was really in the cards for you?
probably after my sophomore year of college. When I was playing, I didn't really know, what exactly was going on after I came out of high school. But, I put together 2 good years, and, I got drafted out of there. And after that first game my sophomore year, I kind of figured that, I got a chance to turn this into a job. And, I never thought it would lead me to this. And but I'm enjoying every moment.
So for you, was that just a ticket to basically have somewhere to go to college at first?
Yeah, man. I wanted to get away from home and get around some different surroundings and do something different. Because I seen a lot of my friends, go to college that's right there in my hometown, and I kind of wanted to get away and start a new path. And that's what I did.
What was Tuscaloosa like when you were growing up?
Man, it's big in basketball and big in football, obviously. You got University of Alabama, and all we know there is football. Basketball is big in that town. That's why I fell in love with basketball. It's a good town, small town. But, I had to get out of there. I want to do something different. I want to live outside the box. And, I think I did a good job at, the routes that I took. And, just working hard and not giving up on my dreams and my goals.
Well, I know one thing that's interesting when you say Tuscaloosa is a small town. I've been through Alabama. It's a small town in a lot of places. In Alabama, yeah. It's like the city.
Yeah, you can say that. Small city.
So you talked about your goals and your dreams. So, like, beyond just simply playing baseball, like, what did you see as those goals and those dreams?
Man, I wanted to just do something around sports. And, when I went to East Central, I never knew that I could make it to the major league and, be a starting shortstop. I didn't know which way it was going to lead me. I just kept, putting in the work and kept working and just, just kept taking that step and getting better. And it led me to, it led me to this. And I'm just going to continue to work and keep getting better, man.
So when you told your parents that this was the way that you wanted to try to go with it, what did they think?
Oh, man, it was all for it. They respect my decision. I wanted to get away from home, and I think that's kind of what they wanted too. I had to grow up at some point, and I just wanted to get out of the house, and I wanted to grow up, and I think that's when I went to East Central. I think they gave me a chance to grow up and kind of become a man more and get away from the parents.
Well, what was it like for you when you first got to East Central? Because I know that for most of us, that first day you get to college is like, okay, so I am somewhere else now.
Yeah, I didn't like it. I didn't like it, man, because I went to it was a smaller town in Decatur, Mississippi. The coach was on me, man. I thought about quitting. I thought about going back home, man. But I stuck with it, and I just kept putting in that work and believing in the coach, and he kept believing in me and kept pushing me. I kept perfecting my craft. And, I got drafted out of there in the first round. I never thought that would happen. So that's why I say, man, you never know what happens if you just keep on working.
I also imagine if you don't expect to get taken in the first round and then you are, once you look up what those bonuses are, what was that like?
Man, that was crazy. That was crazy, man. You know where you come from, where I come from. Not many people, see those type of numbers. And when I saw those numbers, man, it was, it was life changing. And I had a chance to do something that, a lot of kids my age, who at the time at that age, really didn't have a chance to do. And that was, take care of my family. And I was just excited, I just kept working, man, because, that's what you work for. And I just kept trying to get better. And that's what happened, enjoying every moment and the ride of it.
Do you remember that first time you looked at your phone and checked the balance and all of a sudden that check had hit?
Yeah, man, at that time I was young, so, I went and got me an iPad and I got me some Beats headphones and I got me a computer, man. It felt good to be able to take care of myself. I have to ask the parents.
I got to say, that was a pretty responsible purchase because the first thing I would have bought would have cost a lot more than an iPad did.
Well, it was quick. It was quick. I had to go to the field.
like my first move, I would have been out there with something you probably, at that age, something you could see around my neck. Like some of them would be wearing that second base.
Yeah. Well, I had to get to the field real quick. So, like you said, we get to field all day. And that was, I had already, started playing. So I figured I'd get my iPad. That'd keep me company at the field when I had a little downtime.
Well, one thing I always think is interesting, too, about first-round picks in baseball is that, like, you get that money, and then they send you off to this small town where not everybody's got that. So you got all this money in the world, except you are probably somewhere in the middle of nowhere. So, like, for what was that first year like for you playing minor league baseball?
Man, it was different. It was different when I got out there. You know, they put me in a hotel for 3 days, and then after that, it was like, you got to find your own place. And I never lived on my own. I never knew, you know, never got an apartment or anything. So I was just, you know, scrambling and kind of worried, you know, where I'm going to live, how I'm going to do this. I never had stepped out into the real world. But I think I made a good adjustment real quick and was able, you know, to find somewhere to stay and, you know, find a way to move around. And I think that was just part of helping me grow up as well.
Well, I guess it also helps that when you got there, you hit, right? Because I imagine it's a lot trickier when you first get there and you're not putting a bat on the ball.
Right. So, yeah, I hit a little bit. You know, my biggest worry was going into, you know, if I'm going to be able to hit these pitches, man, because when I was in junior college, I only faced, you know, 80, 88. You know, I didn't face no 95 and 96. You know, I think that was my biggest worry. But, you know, it all looked the same.
I always imagine, though, at least it seems to me, and you tell me if I'm wrong, that the big difference would be is like, yeah, these dudes are throwing harder, but that first time you see that major league curveball, that's like, I didn't know something. I didn't know that, like, physically this was possible.
Yeah, it's different. It's different, man. It's definitely different from the minor leagues when you get to the major league, man. And, you know, the biggest thing is just getting there and sticking. And, you know, once I got there, man, I just kept putting in my work and just kept working, man, and kept getting better. And, you know, I wanted to be the best, so I just kept perfecting my craft. And I think here we are today, man. You know, my first two seasons, three seasons. Well, my rookie year was pretty good, but after that, my first two seasons was down. But, you know, I just kept working.
Now, what was it like for you when you first moved to Chicago? Because that is definitely a big city.
It was a game changer. It was a game changer. But, you know, I think I could live anywhere. You know, I make adjustments real quick, and it kind of feel like, you know, I mean, it feel like home. I feel like, you know, just a bigger Tusk Blues. I feel like I fit in just with the culture and the music and, you know, the fans, man. It's, you know, there ain't no better place to play than on the south side of Chicago.
And south side of Chicago is probably a little countryer than you thought it was, right?
Well, it's about the same, man. You know, I'm country as well. So
that's what I'm saying. Like, once you find out they all came from the same kind of place you did, you just fitting in with what Chicago does.
Yeah, I just dove in, man. Hey, I'm here. So, you know, I fit in real well, and I think that's why I love it so much.
What about baseball is it in particular that, like, really does it for you?
Man, you going out and playing in front of, you know, thousands of fans. These fans come to see you guys play. And I think for me, man, I grab hold of that because, you know, I don't want to go nowhere and pay my money and not see a show. So I think that's the way I play the game, the way I do, and try to get these fans something to remember and, you know, make them want to come back, especially the kids.
Now, did you have to, like, ease yourself into the way that you carry it, or were you like this the second you showed up in the big leagues?
I had to ease my way into it, man, because, you know, when I first called up, the team was different. And, you know me, I didn't really play baseball that much, so I didn't really know the game. So I learned it. I had to learn the game a lot more than what I knew from when I got called up. And I think the more that I got comfortable in my skin and the more I got comfortable in my surroundings, I think that became part of my game of who I am. I mean, I've always been there, but as I got comfortable, I started showing it more and start showing that energy and just, you know, trying to lead the team in a different way because, I mean, I'm not really a talkative person. So I lead by example.
I think some people would be surprised to hear you say that you're not a talkative person because when you don't talk, it still talks, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. So when I talk, people listen. I guess you could say that.
So what made you decide, and I guess we've seen this a couple of times where the broadcasters have had the things to say about you and you put up the videos, put the Migos behind them, and with you just still doing whatever it is that you do. What made you decide that was going to be the way that you would handle those things?
Man, that's flex. That's flex. You know, that's how we do it where I'm from, man. You know, you got to show these things, you know, because how many other baseball players you can think of the guy like videos behind trap beats? You know, who else doing that? So I had to figure out what's gonna separate me, what's gonna make me different. How can I get my culture into this game? How can I inspire my culture? And if that takes, you know, the music that you listen to, putting it over some dope plays, then I'm going to do that. And I think that's what happened, man. You know, just put some good music over a couple good plays, and, you know, the culture grabbed hold of that, and they liked it.
Well, like one thing I think you mentioned, the culture part, that I always think is interesting about baseball is that baseball kind of tries to impose its culture on its players rather than letting the players kind of dictate the culture back in that direction. Was there a moment when you like fully realized that that was the way that it went? Because it sounds like, again, the way you came up playing baseball was not the same as the attitudes in the major leagues.
Right. When you look at it, honestly, I am the only black guy on the team, and that's okay. I think, you know, my teammates allow me to, you know, be myself. And, you know, I think they learned a lot from me, and I learned a lot from them as far as, you know, their culture and how it was when they grew up. And I think they respect me a lot just because of, you know, the way that I grew up and the way that I played. So I think they enjoy those moments because, you know, a lot of it is come from pain and struggle. So that's kind of, you know, where that energy comes from, man. You know, when you struggle all your life and now that you succeed, of course you're going to show up. And that's great, and that's fun, you know, and I think that's kind of the way I go about it.
Was like being the one black dude on a team like this an adjustment for you? Because, you know, all this country is really incredibly segregated, but the South in particular, where I can imagine it's easy for a lot of people, both black and white, to not have that many interactions that are like meaningful with people of an opposite race. Was that a change, like being that one black dude in the room like that with the White Sox? How much of a change was that for you, if it was?
It wasn't. The White Sox is a great organization. They drafted me, and it's been nothing but over arms since, and nothing but love. But I get to go out and play the way that I play, man. And I'm on the South Side of Chicago, where it is, you know, the culture is black. So I get to go out and inspire and motivate, you know, kids that never thought they could play baseball or never picked up a bat. I get to inspire them kids on the South Side and try to, you know, get them around something different besides, you know, basketball and football. That's what's popular thing now. So I just try to get more kids into the game as far as, you know, being black, because a lot of black kids don't play baseball or, you know, they don't watch it.
So what's your relationship like with Kenny Williams? Because I imagine he's got some particular insights given his experience being a black dude playing baseball.
Yeah, I got a great relationship. You know, when I was going through that, you know, we talked. And, you know, man, and it's been nothing but positive and nothing but love. And, you know, can't say so much about him, man. It's been nothing but good to me.
You mentioned working with, you know, sharing the game with kids. How much time have you had to be able to spend in Chicago, like really working with kids specifically on this and other things?
We do a lot of stuff. So I have my own organization, Anderson League of Leaders, and that, you know, that came from one of my close friends got killed in gun violence back home. And, you know, so what I do, man, I just go in and have fun with the kids. You know, we recently just, you know, put together, you know, we had a block party for the kids over in Bronzeville. I got a haircut event coming up in Tuscaloosa at my old high school where I give out, you know, haircuts for the kids at the school. I do baseball camps back home in the off season. We give out, you know, we do turkey drive, we give away turkeys. Man, we do just, you know, if it comes with, you know, putting a smile on kids' faces and, you know, putting a smile on people's faces, then I think we're all in. And, you know, me and my wife do an incredible job. And my wife do an incredible job. And you know, with the game plans. And, you know, we go out and make these things happen.
Now, I'm always curious with baseball, just because it involves so much travel time and so much time at the ballpark. You mentioned your wife. Like, what is it like for her to be married to somebody in Major League Baseball?
Man, it's, you know, we find our time to, you know, do things and, you know, we communicate, I think. We have two kids, so it's kind of busy. But, you know, I usually go to the ballpark at 12:31, so I'm usually up early with them spending that time. And, you know, they're my biggest fan, so they're always there in the stands watching the game. And so, you know, huge support system, man. And I think that's, you know, that's the pretty thing about it, man, that they really support what I do and they know how much I love it and how important it is to me, and they really support me throughout that.
Do you get much time to play basketball now, even like in the off season?
Not really. You know, I have a basketball at home and I shoot every now and then, but you know, I try to stay away from it.
Really?
Yeah, man, I don't want to fall back in love.
That's the part that I was wondering about, because I feel like cats like you who played at high level and then walk away, y'all are normally ready just to go take somebody just to remind them that you can do it.
Yeah, I'm always ready to take somebody to remind them. But You know, I just try to stay away from it, you know, on my alone time. But, you know, anybody can get it.
That seems like anybody a lifestyle mantra for you. Anybody can get it.
Yeah, anybody can get it, man. They can't hold me. Anybody can get it.
But I imagine you're still like a big basketball fan, right?
Yeah, definitely. Man.
Who's your squad?
I'm a huge LeBron James fan, man. You know, not more so what he does on the court, but more so what he does off the field. Just a great person, a leader.
So how you feeling about the Lakers, though?
I think they're looking good, man. I think they're looking good. You know, I don't want to speak, you know, too ahead of myself. But, you know, LeBron going to be LeBron. He does it every year. So we'll see what happens.
I'm still a little mad at him for going to L.A., if for no other reason than it's really interfering with our ability to get sleep. Like, these 10:30 tips are killing me.
Oh, man. I think he's going to do good this year, man. This year's going to be dope. I'm excited, man. Just, you know, you got an NBA panning out, man. And I think he's back at an even keel level. And I think it's going to be fun to watch.
Now, let me ask you this about basketball versus baseball. Like, is there anything that you look at that's going on in the NBA that you wish Major League Baseball would adopt just in terms of making the sport bigger?
I think just the marketing and branding the players. That's the bad part of it as far as baseball. You know, you see basketball, man. Guys are well connected and, you know, they're helping each other. You know, they're branding each other a lot more, and I think that's why kids all want to, you know, be these guys a lot more, because they do a good job at, you know, marketing and branding and, you know, putting their guys out there. Well, I think baseball is not.
Do you feel that other players have, like, similar complaints about the league when you talk to them about that?
Nah, man, they could care less about it, I think. I mean, as far as some of my teammates, you know, yeah, but I think other guys around the league don't, you know. Because in this sport, I think guys just want to play and, you know, have their team win. And you care less about, you know, not saying care less about it, but, you know, that's not in their role as far as, you know, using the Instagram and interacting with the kids. Because, I mean, the game is getting younger now. So I think a lot more people are using, you know, Instagram. But, you know, it was an older game, so a lot of guys are not into the Instagram or Twitter and those things. I mean, it can happen, but it's not, you know, doesn't use it how I use it.
Has anybody, like, from the team or the league come to talk to you about it? Not like they have a problem necessarily, to be like, hey, so how's this go? Like, how does this work?
Not necessarily, man. Not necessarily. Nobody. I mean, I do a good job. I work with the White Sox a lot with, you know, doing, you know, media stuff. And, you know, because that's I like doing type of stuff like that. I like the Instagram, man. It's dope. It's an outlet where you can put dope stuff out, dope content, you know, for the fans to see, or, you know, for your friends to see. And I think, you know, that's why I use it so much. And, you know, it's just all about putting out that dope content.
Do they get nervous about your dope content?
Nah, man. It's more so, man, they let me do my thing.
I understand that one. Now, as this season goes on and you look at yourself as a baseball player, like, is there something that you can point to? You're like, yo, this is the thing that I really want to improve on.
Man, just, you know, I'm always looking to improve on my overall game. But, yeah, man, just my overall game, man. I'm just trying to get better every day, man. I want to be the best. I want to be the best. You know, when you think of baseball, I want you to think of me. So, you know, I think that's why I'm just going to keep working, man, to get there.
You know, you talked about you want, you know, kids to see you play and, you know, like, people basically want to kick it the way you kick it, seeing that you were there to do it. Who did you watch when you were younger and you saw that player and you were like, okay, that's the one I want, like, that's how I want to carry this?
I like the Ken Griffey Jr., man. I'm the kid. You know how the way he played and you know the things that he did. And so I kind of wanted to, you know, play my game and play it comfortable, you know, and not worry about anybody saying anything to me. I think that's what make me go out and play at a high level when I'm able to be myself and be comfortable and, you know, do what I want and but do it respectfully. And I think that's what I do. I go out, man, and I play hard and I enjoy those moments. And, you know, man, I mean, how many people can get to wake up and hit a home run in the big league? Man, not everybody doing that. So I think that's why I think I just put life in perspective, man, and enjoy those moments.
Yeah, like, I was watching some Ricky Henderson clips the other day, and it dawned on me that there's a generation of kids who probably like can't believe that Rickey Henderson existed. Not just how good a player he was, but like that wide turnaround first base, the snap catch, yeah. all of that. And I was like, no, this actually used to be a little bit like, as much as people talk about these unwritten rules, that used to be a little more common than it is now, the stuff that Rickey was doing.
Yeah, but you know, now it's a problem now, I guess. You know, they don't like those things. I guess they don't like you enjoying the game a lot more than them, as you could say.
Well, I wonder for you, like, what did you think when they suspended you for saying what you said, but we know that it was not uttered as a racial slur as it was described? It felt from here like they just needed to suspend you.
Honestly, when I found out I was going to get suspended, I was okay with it. I could care less because at the end of the day, it's out of my control. I got to where, you know, people going to do what they want to do, and I couldn't control it. But at the end of the day, I felt like I shouldn't have been suspended. I don't think I offended anybody else out there on the field. And, yeah, that's my take on it, man. But, you know, I was just ready to move on and get past it. And, you know, just keep, you know, I think that just motivated me to keep going out and just, you know, playing at a high level and having fun and enjoying it a lot more.
Well, like one thing it does make me wonder, because I know this would scare me to death, but like how much of a deterrent is it truly that somebody might throw a baseball at your head? Because that's the whole argument, is we do this to make you stop doing it, right?
Yeah, that's crazy, man. And I think that's crazy that they allow that. You know, because what I did, man, I didn't hurt you. Or me and that ball over didn't hurt him. You know, but, you know, if you lose that pitch and hit me in the head or something, man, you can end my career. So, you know, I think it has its pros and cons. But, you know, I don't think you should be allowed to throw at anybody. All I did was hit the ball over the fence, man. I didn't touch you. But, you know, man, it's the weird thing to argue. But, man, I just, you know, I go out and play my game, man. I could care less about, you know, anybody else that's not on my squad.
So there's no worry for you. Like, okay, these dudes might throw a baseball at me. Oh, well.
Nah,
like, that doesn't worry you at all to make you think to stop doing what you do.
No, man, they can't stop me. That's my mentality. They can't stop me, man. I just go out and play hard, man. I don't care. I could care less about anybody else on the other side. You know, they're not my friends. They're not my teammates. So, you know, I can care less. At the end of the day, the ultimate goal, we're going out to compete, man. We're going out to compete. And that's what I'm doing. I'm competitive. And I play hard. But at the end of the day, man, what they got going on the other side, that don't concern me, man. I'm going out here and trying to whoop your head and, you know, put it on you.
All right. That is Tim Anderson. Check him out with the Chicago White Sox. My man, I thank you so much for joining us here on The Right Time. I really appreciate it.
Man, thank you. I appreciate you having me.
All right. No problem, man. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us here on The Right Times. Do this thing a couple times a week. My man Gabe Bassain handles everything behind the scenes. Thank you, sir. Thanks to Tim Anderson. Remember, subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcast. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars, and give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to think you're a hater, and we'll talk to you guys in a couple of days. Take it easy.
Thanks for checking out The Right Time with Bomani Jones Podcast.
You can listen or subscribe on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Right Time
with Bomani Jones.